Let us not forget that we have much to praise God for. This is a quote coming to you from the Biblical Illustrator. In this broadcast, we are continuing the theme of resolutions in our new series entitled, In the Beginning Was the Word. In this particular broadcast, we will cover the new subject of praising the Lord as we deal with resolution number 30, as found in Psalm 146, 1 to 2, which says, Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul, while I live, will I praise the Lord. Now, in this Bible message, we're going to look first and foremost at the grandest resolution. We're going to look at the fact that it's sparked by our being in relationship with God, being in covenant with God. Then we're going to look at the manner in which this resolution should be carried out, how it should be done. We will then look at the subject matter behind the resolution. And then we will look at, in closing, how our lives and even entering into the next life should carry on with this resolution. Okay, first and foremost, the grandest resolution is found in Psalm 146, our text for today, verses 1 to 2. Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul, while I live, will I praise the Lord. David was telling us right in this verse the grandest resolution. He said, I will do this constantly while I live, every day of my life, to my life's end. My duty toward God is to be always praising Him. Now, I stopped for a moment and I looked at Psalm 146 because I was curious. I wanted to see how was David viewing God at the time when he wrote those words, while I live, will I praise the Lord. What was he thinking? How was he viewing God? And we find the answer to that in the psalm. This is what it says. While I live, will I praise the Lord, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keeps truth forever, which executes judgment for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry, looses the prisoners, opens the eyes of the blind, raises them that are bowed down, relieves the fatherless and the widow, and turns the way of the wicked upside down. David had God in view when this is how he was seeing God. And it's no wonder that he was able to say, while I live, will I praise the Lord. The Treasury of David said this, I shall not live here forever. This mortal life will find a finish in death. But while it lasts, I will laud the Lord my God. I cannot tell how long or short my life may be, but every hour of it shall be given to the praises of my God. The grandest resolution, while I live, will I praise the Lord. Now we want to look at how it is sparked by our being in relationship with God, being in covenant with Him. And we see that in Psalm 118, verse 28, when David said, Thou art my God, and I will praise Thee. You are my God. He recognized God to be the true God, but he also recognized Him to be his God. By the spirit of adoption, he was able to say, You are my God. You are my El, my mighty one. Therefore, I will praise you. The covenant blessing that he had, he was able to say, you are my God. But the covenant obligation that followed that was, I will praise you. Because you are my God, I will praise you. Then we go on to the manner, the grandest resolution. Remember, is while I live, will I praise the Lord. But there's a way in which we are to praise him. Now, in the Psalms, I found two of the ways. There may be many more mentioned in the Bible, but we're going to look at two. With all my heart and with uprightness of heart. With all my heart. Three Psalms mention this. Psalm 9:1, David said, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Psalm 138, verse 1, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Psalm 86:12 says, I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. Once again, when David said, with all my heart, I was curious to see in each of the Psalms, how was he viewing God at the time when he wrote these words? In Psalm 9, this is what it says. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart, for you have maintained my right and my cause. You sit in the throne judging right. You rebuke the heathen. You destroy the wicked. You stretched out your hand against the wrath of my enemies. You prepare your throne for judgment. You shall judge the world in righteousness. You shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. So we see it's obvious he's seeing God as a just God. But then he adds, you are a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. You forget not the cry of the humble. And because of that, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Then we go to Psalm 138, and we find him seeing God in this way. You strengthened me with strength in my soul in the day when I cried unto thee. You revived me when I walked in the midst of trouble. Your right hand saved me. You perfect that which concerns me. I will praise thee with my whole heart. And then finally in Psalm 86, look how David viewed God in this psalm. You are good, ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy. You are great and do wondrous things. You are God alone, full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering. You have delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Is it any wonder that he then said, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. We need to stop right here and examine that phrase, with my whole heart, with all my heart, to see what that entails so that we understand what God is saying to us today. What it means is that you reserve nothing in your heart to give to idols or to other gods. That you indulge in no attachment, inconstant with supreme attachment to God, or that would tend to draw your affections from him. You allow nothing to divide or distract your affection. You withhold nothing from God. You let your heart be single and entire for him. The treasury of David said this, praise should never be rendered with less than all our heart and soul and strength, or it will be both unreal and unacceptable. Okay, we said the manner in which it should be conducted. While I live, will I praise the Lord? I will do it with all my heart. but also the Psalms we find say that you should do it with uprightness of heart. Psalm 119, verse 7, the psalmist said, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Here he was saying that when you praise God, you should do it with an upright and sincere heart. You should do it with a single eye to his glory, with a desire to know and do his will, in the most sincere manner, without hypocrisy. But he added a qualifying clause there. He said, you'll be able to praise the Lord with uprightness of heart when you shall have learned God's righteous judgments. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Now those words, righteous judgments, are referring to the laws, the statutes, or it could be referring to the word of God. So David said, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I am more fully instructed in the meaning of your word, when I understand more fully your word. Oh, how important it is that we read and study the word of God, because it affects our praise. It affects our praise. The more we know of God, the more we see in him to praise. The larger our acquaintance with him and experience of him, the more our hearts are disposed to magnify his name. John Calvin said, it is vain to make a pretense of praising God with the mouth and the tongue if we dishonor him by our life. So it is important that we praise him. While I live, will I praise the Lord with all my heart, but also with uprightness of heart. Then we go on to the subject matter behind the resolution. And there are so many, but I chose three for this message. We are going to look at God's wonderful works, the fact that God is a prayer-answering God, and his faithfulness. While I live, will I praise the Lord? The first thing that causes me to praise him is when I consider his wonderful works. And there's no greater work than the creation of man. David said, Psalm 139, verse 14, he said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When we reflect upon God's wonderful works, it cannot help but cause us to overflow into praise. And the greatest miracle in the world is man. He is the most wonderful of the creations of God. The man and whose body and soul are miracles enough to fill a volume. And David said here, he said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. By looking at the creation, my body, my soul, I see God's incomprehensible skill, power, and goodness. And it inspires me with the deepest feelings of admiration and awe. It makes me want to praise him. Then we go on to Psalm 118, verse 21, and we see the second subject matter, that he is a prayer-answering God. Here David said in Psalm 118, verse 21, he said, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. This is a reason for praise, the fact that God answers prayer. You prayed and he heard you. David said, you have heard me. You intervened, you interposed, and I experienced your divine goodness as a result. You have heard me, and you are become my salvation. I was able to taste of the victory over my enemies through you. This is cause for praise, to realize that he is a prayer answering God. That causes you to praise him. The treasury of David said this: there is a point which we would especially notice, and that is praise for hearing prayer. In this point, almost above all others, God is frequently robbed of his praise. Men pray, they receive an answer to their prayers, and then forget to praise. This happens especially in small things. We should ever remember that whatever is worth praying for is worth praising for also. Oh, we must never rob God of his praise. If something is worth praying for, I don't care if it's even the smallest thing, it's worth praising for when God comes through, hears you, and becomes your salvation. And lastly, the subject matter for praise is God's faithfulness. We see that in Psalm 71, verse 22, where David said, I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, my God. Now, I want us to pay attention to those words, even thy truth, O my God. That word truth there could mean doctrinal truth, or the truth of God's promises, or else it could mean the attribute of faithfulness. God is faithful to all his promises. He's true to his word. There is no falseness in him. There's no fickleness with him. He never changes his mind nor forgets his word. He will not suffer his faithfulness to fail. Hebrews 10:23 says, for he is faithful that promised. He is able to perform all and everything that he has promised you. He has perfect faithfulness. It's impossible for God to lie, because he is not a man that he should lie. With him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The preacher's homiletic commentary said this: God's faithfulness to his promises should be our perpetual inspiration. It should always cause us to have a praise on our lips. David said in Psalm 71, I looked through the psalm and you could see the faithfulness of God. It's no wonder he said, I'll also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Because this is what he said. This is how he showed God's faithfulness. You delivered me in thy righteousness. You caused me to escape. You inclined your ear unto me and saved me. You were my strong habitation. You gave commandment to save me. You delivered me out of the hand of the wicked. You didn't cast me off in time of old age. You didn't forsake me when my strength failed. You quickened me when I was facing great and sore troubles. You comforted me on every side. Oh, hallelujah. It is no wonder that David said, I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, oh my God. And then finally, in closing, we come to our final point. David said, while I live, will I praise the Lord. We look at Psalm 52, verse 9, and he says, I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. With this verse, he closed the psalm. He closed Psalm 52 with this resolution: I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. Remember, the grandest resolution was while I live. Well, I praise the Lord. Now he's saying, I'll praise you forever because you have done it. You have come through. I'm going to ascribe all glory to you. Oh, this is the reason David said, don't only praise him while you live, but praise him forever because he has done it. That is your testimony. You have always a reason to praise him because he has done it. Listen to what the chorus, we're so familiar with this chorus, we sing it in our services. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm gonna praise his name. Oh, hallelujah. David said, I'll praise thee forever because thou hast done it. That is our testimony. Lord, you have done it. You have saved me. You have healed me. You delivered me. You provided for me. You were there when everyone else walked out. You've always been with me. You said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you have kept your promise to me. And as a result, I will praise thee forever because you have done it. In this Bible message, we have looked at the grandest resolution. David said, while I live, will I praise the Lord. We saw that it was sparked by our being in covenant with God. We saw also that it's to be done with all our heart and with uprightness of heart. We saw that the subject matter for our praise should be or will be God's wonderful works, the fact that he's a prayer answering God, or his faithfulness. But we also saw that not only are we to praise him while we live, but we're to close this life out and continue on to eternity with our praise. Oh, hallelujah. Our time is up for today's broadcast, but I encourage you, stay tuned for our next teaching as we continue our study of resolutions as found in the book of Psalms. This is Connie Giordano with Walking in Truth Ministry, praying that the fire of God falls upon you today and totally transforms your praising of God. In Jesus' name, amen.